Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube.
I don't know what to say, Flames fans. I guess we'll rehash the same old, just like we've watched on the ice. The same old, same old. Good evening and welcome to Flames Unfiltered. I am the host of the show, Brad Berube. Episode number 91. It's March 3rd. It's actually March 2nd, 2021. That doesn't seem even right to say, but it is good to be with you for another edition of Flames Unfiltered. And it is a really good show as we got a great guest tonight. You know, this Flames team. I'm going to tell you, start off with a sports betting story. I do a little bit of sports betting. Not a ton. I'm not big into it. I just kind of been dabbling here a little bit lately. But I never, I've always kind of made a rule. I don't bet on the Flames because I never win. But on Thursday night, the Flames had a rough go in Ottawa. And I know this team well enough to know that Saturday night would be a completely different story. So I took the Flames to cover. And guess what? They win me money because I knew this team would bounce back. But then I also know this team well enough to know that things probably aren't going to go well two nights later. Now, I didn't bet two nights later because I hate to bet on my team to lose. I should have, though, because I know this team and I think I can make some money on what this team does. Did all of you see Kelly Rudy blow his button last week on Sportsnet? How funny was that? Play the game. It was a miserable Thursday night. The only thing I liked about that whole night was watching Kelly Rudy's button go flying off and how he reacted and how much fun they had with that as a group. But it was entertaining and fun. And if you haven't read Kelly Rudy's book, do it because it's good. Monday night, last night, I finally hit the point. I hit the point where these losses and this inconsistent play is not pissing me off anymore. Now, I doesn't mean I don't care. It just means I've accepted the fact that without some major changes, this team's not going anywhere this year. And that sucks to say because this podcast is so much more fun when this team is bumping along and things are going great. Now, I love the Flames, but this last 2 weeks has really been really trying times. Warm-ups last night was a complete embarrassment. With goalies getting knocked down, Anderson and Lucic falling over themselves, Gaudreau hitting Monahan in the head with a puck. It was all over social media today, and we're the laughingstock of the league. Stuff like that pisses me off. Another oddball thing that I can't even believe I'm talking about in this podcast, but does Nesterov's jersey piss you guys off? Seeing that 89 on the back of his jersey, that being the Stanley Cup year, all these commemorative jerseys that we've seen with Stanley Cup 89 on the back of jerseys, and now I'm watching an 89 out there, and we're so far from the Stanley Cup, it's not even funny. I don't know why that's a little thing, but that just bothers me. I hate that number. No Flame player should be wearing 89. Crazy. I don't know if this is a bad sign or a good sign, but temperatures are starting to rise, and I'm getting a little bit of golf fever. I've been thinking about golf clubs. I've been shopping for new golf clubs. And one of my buddies laughed today and said, well, with your team being so awful, you'll get to use the golf clubs sooner. Man, oh, man. I guess there is positives to look, huh? On this episode, we're going to recap the three-game road trip in Ottawa. Again, I know, I'm sorry, it was not pretty, but we will talk about it. And then we'll discuss my take on the sea of inconsistency. Yeah, that's what it's been in Calgary for quite some time. And then Noah Adler from the Blastycast podcast joins the show. And we're going to discuss what he thinks needs to happen for this team to get things turned around in the short term and in the long term. Then we'll roll into some Flames news, news from the North, a Facebook poll asking the question, does this team need to retool and rebuild right now? And then we'll wrap with a preview of the upcoming Ottawa home game, Friday night's Battle of Alberta. Yeah, Saturday night, actually Saturday night's Battle of Alberta. What am I thinking? And then back Sunday with Ottawa playing in Calgary. I don't know. We're going to try to make this episode as positive as we can. It's not easy right now. It's not easy. It's not easy, but we're going to do our best to try to make this positive, try to make this fun. Let's pretend we're on a 5-game win streak, but we're not, Flames fans. All right, Flames fans. Time to recap the mess out in Ottawa. We'll do it fast. We'll try to keep this as pain-free as possible, right? Yeah. Last Thursday night, February 25th, Calgary and Ottawa, and it was the start of this nightmare. Riddick versus Murray in net. And we're off to another bad start. Get out shot in the first period, 13-5, and we're down 2-0 right away. And yeah, things are not looking good. Lucic pulls us to within one. And yeah, another sad, sad fact is Lucic has kind of been our key go-to scorer when we're down a goal. And then it went even worse as Ottawa gets two more, and it's 4-1. And then all of a sudden we see some weirdness in the bench. Zegadulin's up. He's in the hallway. Got his mask on. Got his gloves on. Getting ready. But Riddick is still out there. And then all of a sudden, about 4 minutes go by, and then there's a TV timeout. And all of a sudden, Zegadulin comes out, and Riddick is in. Why would Ward do that? After the fourth goal, like, why don't you pull Riddick and get him out? Like, what's Zegadulin sitting in the hallway waiting for? Like, what are you doing? If you're going to pull the goalie, pull the goalie. Yeah. Riddick, Zegadulin came in. I didn't think he was bad. One of the goals was a bad one. The line blender was out in the third. Final score, 6-1. Sad, sad night in Calgary. And fans were going crazy on Twitter after. We listened to it all day Friday. Doom and gloom. And then Saturday rolls around, and I knew it. It was an early game, and we usually stink in early games, but I knew the heat was on in Calgary, and I knew it. I knew they would come out on fire. I was watching the game with a buddy of mine, and I said, you watch, this team's going to come out on fire. They're going to roll today. They're going to roll Ottawa. And they did. They were back to the bubble lines. Riddick was against Murray, and all the heat was on, man, and Calgary showed up right off the start. Valimaki scores his first. Lucic fights Austin Watson after a 2-0 lead, ragdolls him, beats him up good, and after one, it's 3-1, and we outshoot Ottawa 20-10. It's the most shots I believe we've had in a period this year, and it was great. In the second, Monahan scores a power play goal. Mangiapane follows it up with another one, the team's first shorthanded goal of the season, and after two, it's 6-2, and Calgary's rolling. And everybody in the fan base is like, oh, well, okay, maybe we're going to be okay. Joe DeCord comes in and fills in for Matt Murray in the third period. It's his first appearance of the year, second in his career, so that was new. Final score, 6-3 for Calgary, 38-34, shots in favor of Calgary. It's a lot of shots. Gave up too many shots, though. And the heat was off for a day. Players settled into the hotel. And then Monday night happens. Riddick Murray again, last game of the 6-game road trip. And it's a sloppy first period. It was ugly. 0-0 after one. But it was sloppy. Then the second period happens, and it's god-awful. We get outshot 22-6. Yes, Flames fans, 22-6. Most of the shots we've allowed in a period this year. Batherson scores two goals. Nobody even knew. None of us Flames guys knew who Batherson was. We'd heard the name. That's it. Well, we know who he is now. He's a guy that scores against us all the time. Then this is an interesting part of the game. Probably the only part of the game I liked. Stützle hits Tanev from behind. We're lucky that Tanev isn't out with an injury. And in the third period, Anderson finds Stützle with his back turned and drills him into the wall. And I thought, you know what, I don't want anybody hurt, but that's a payback, and that's a lesson that young 19-year-old is never going to forget again. Riddick played fairly good, minus the one giveaway in front of the net. And it's a 5-1 loss. And I don't know what you guys think. It was one of those real, real disheartening losses. It was one, well, I said it earlier in the show. It pushed me to the part of not being angry anymore. And that's really not, I don't like being at that. I'm an emotional fan. I want to be invested every night and excited to see what happens every night. Maybe we'll get that back. I hope so. All right, Flames fans. Sea of inconsistency. That's what this organization has been forever. Win a game, the heat's off. Lose the next game. Oh, no, the heat's on. Who's going to be fired? Who's going to be traded? We better play hard. We're going to work hard. We win a game. Back to the country club. Let's relax. And, woo, we won. Next night, get our asses blown out again. I can't take it anymore. I can't take it. This locker room has to change. The excuses are unreal. I am so tired of the excuses. So tired. I'm tired of this team saying, well, we need to work for each other. We need to do this for each other. We're a good group. We get along real well. I don't care if you get along. Maybe you shouldn't get along. Maybe someone in this locker room needs to stand up and say, you need to play better. You need to do this. We saw Lucic freak out a little bit in the post game yesterday. I don't know. I think someone other than Lucic needs to do it too. Not that I'm saying that he is a leader. I think we need more guys stepping up and calling out players. Another thing I don't understand is the excuse of we're tired. Figure this one out because I'm confused. This hockey team got to Ottawa last Wednesday night. They spent almost a full week there. 5+ days in Ottawa, played 3 games, and aren't allowed to go out in Ottawa or do anything, so they're in their hotel or at the rink, which means tons of rest and tons of sleep. It's not a normal road trip where you're on the road for 6 days and you're in L.A. that one night, you're in Arizona the next, you're in Vegas the next, in Colorado the next, and then home. No. This team's been sitting in a hotel in the last place, second to worst team in the National Hockey League's hotel, and we can't play a game to save our lives. I don't know how you use the excuse that we're tired. Because it's an excuse, and it's BS is what it is. I wish I had a nickel for every time I hear these press conferences that are the same every single night. And then, of course, we're back to the lines that there were in the bubble last year. Now, I'm not saying that's totally a bad thing. I don't mind those lines. But supposedly that's what the players wanted too. But they didn't play like they really wanted to be on those lines. So I really don't know what to believe anymore. I'd love to sit in the locker room just by myself in the corner and watch. The accountability on this team is not there. It's just not. The sad thing is that this organization, this group of players has tricked the fan base. They've tricked the media and they've tricked management into believing they're good because it looks good on paper. Big individual performances at some point in time during careers have made us believe that these guys are good players, but have they ever really shown us that they're good players? Do the statistics lead that? Do the wins lead that? No. We think they're good. But we're wrong. We're wrong. And it's time to change that. This is not a talented hockey team. There's no heart and there's no work. And when you don't have hard work, you will not get anywhere. Some of the least talented teams in the league that have heart and a heart and work hard, they have success. But if you don't have heart and you don't work hard every night, every shift, and every play, and aren't accountable for your actions, you're not going to get results. And that's exactly what we've gotten in Calgary lately, is no results. It's time for a change in Calgary, and it changes now. Join in Flames Unfiltered now. You can catch him on the Blastycast podcast. Noah Adler joins the show. Long time coming. I'm glad to have you on the show, Noah.
Thanks, Brad, for having me on. It's like you said, it's been a long time coming, and I'm glad we can finally make this happen.
Yeah, hopefully. You know, the timing's probably bad since we're probably both aggravated with this team. But well, maybe that's a good thing. So. Yeah. Where do we start? Like, when you look at this Flames team, 23 games in now, I believe it is, where's your frustration level, and where are you looking for answers with?
Oh, man. That's a pretty tough place to start. You know what? I'm just like, I'm not surprised anymore. I'm just not. I mean, being a fan of this team as long as I've been, we're pretty much just at the grievance stage at this point. Like, we just, there's nothing, and I've even talked, you know, in overtime about it, is that there's just no other words you can really say at this point, because this hockey team, for as long as I've known, has been a middle-of-the-pack team, which is death in this league. And, you know, and what... This is reminding me a lot too much of the twilight years of the Aginla-Kiprusoff years, when they still thought they were good enough to compete and to be a playoff team when they really weren't. And I'm afraid that they're going to wait too long, you know, to keep guys like Giordano and Monahan and Gaudreau around when they're way past their value, and you're going to trade them at a point where you're not going to get a great return.
Yeah, I know, that's one of my fears too. And you know, one of the things I think in Calgary that, and I think all of us have, we've looked at names and we've looked at individual performances, and we've made judgments that this is a good team. And I'm not saying that we haven't had spurts of really good hockey with this group, but when you look at it in the big picture, I think this recent, I don't know, what do you want to call it, skid that we've had, or these recent, I call it the awakening. I think it's awakened a lot of Flames media fans and everybody, and hopefully management, that, I don't know, it's kind of snapped me to the realization of that, geez, maybe we aren't that good. And if you really drill down, we're not. We're not that good of a hockey team. And it's hard to say that. It's hard to think that. And this week has really taught me that there's a lot that needs to be done.
Absolutely. And, you know, and that's the thing. You just mentioned it right there, is this team is not as good as we all thought. Because heading into the season, the biggest talk around this team was they've got some great depth. And as soon as you saw both those Dubé and the Ryan injury, you realize that depth was completely depleted.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I guess where I'm at as well is that people like to point the finger at Jeff Ward, but it's like, there's nobody defendable on this organization anymore. There just isn't. Besides maybe Jacob Markstrom.
Yeah.
There's nobody defendable anymore. Like, there just isn't.
I've been very critical of Ward. Now, I'm not blaming, so you know where I'm coming from on this. I'm not blaming this on Jeff Ward.
No.
But
no.
Looking at him separate from the junk on the ice, he's made numerous coaching decisions that I'm just in awe about. The putting of, we go back to last year's playoff, putting in Riddick was a huge coaching blunder that I thought, well, okay, we'll let that go. But then this year when we're down a goal, this is early in the season and we're still relevant.
Yeah.
We're down a goal with 3 minutes to go in Winnipeg, and we've got Lucic and Levo out there. I mean, we've just got in the line juggling every single night. It's like he's pushing the panic button every night. Every night. Yeah. You can't do that. You have to let lines mesh, and you have to let lines build and grow together, and he's not done that. So I'm critical of him. I want him gone. I that sounds so mean to say. I don't want anybody unemployed. But he's not the answer for us moving forward. Mm-hmm. But neither is this core. And this core needs to go. But that being said, if you were in Brad Treliving's shoes, now here's where the questions get hard, Noah. If you were in Brad Treliving's shoes, what would be your first move? What would you do tomorrow?
Here's my question to you. Do you think Brad Treliving, survives the offseason?
I would guess no, but but think about this one, though. If I was an owner, no, he wouldn't. And I have been, I've been pro Brad Treliving to the point where it's making me look so stupid right now. Like, I've really supported him, and I really think he's tried to do the right things. But here's what's going on. I think he might survive this because they just renewed his contract, and this ownership group is not going to want to be paying extra coaches and extra GMs that aren't here.
That's right.
So I don't know that he doesn't get one more kick at the can. I called it earlier this year on my show. I called this his final kick at the can, and he might get another kick next year. But he's got to do something, doesn't he? Like, doesn't this start, like, now?
See, here's where I'm at with this. Jack Eichel might become available in the offseason. And for one,
I kind of hope we'd go here.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I kind of hoped we'd go down this road.
Okay. So if you're Brad Treliving, you have to do everything in your power to go after Jack Eichel. Here's another tough thing as well, though. If you don't land Jack Eichel, or if you do land him but it doesn't work out, then I think you have to blow it up. I think without a doubt, you have to blow it up.
Do you honestly think, though, that we even have the assets to get Jack Eichel? Because I don't.
Well, you're right about that. That's also another thing, is do they have the assets to do it? And I think an ideal trade for Jack Eichel, if you are this organization, would probably look like most likely like a Monahan, a Dubé, or a Valimaki. And the Connors there in a couple first-round picks for Jack Eichel. But even in that sense, it probably may not get it done.
How do we – but, like, you know, and I'm not against getting Jack Eichel. I think he's a top-five player in the league. But I look at our roster, and I'm like, what would Buffalo – okay, I try to compare it to, like, what Buffalo is going to get thrown at them for Jack Eichel. And I don't think Calgary has the assets that they're going to be able to throw at them. Plus, if we're going to, like, retool – are we really willing to give up a first-round pick? Is the timing good to do that right now?
And that is also where it gets a bit complicated too. So I think, I have been among that minority that said that, and I think the Flames should absolutely go after Eichel, but if they don't want him, then they should blow it up, because the thing, and you can. You know, you can relate to this as much as I can, but this organization has never gone through a proper rebuild. In the Young Guns or in the post-Iggy Kipper era, they have not done it. And the only way this organization is going to probably leave that middle of the pack is if they go through a proper rebuild.
Can we afford to, though?
I think we could. I think 100% we could. I mean, there's no guarantee that it's going to land us first overall, but I think change in direction has to happen.
Oh, it totally does, Noel. I'm 100% with you. But how do you call Jacob Markstrom into the office now and say, hey, like 23 games, man, I know things have changed, but I'm sorry, dude. You're going to have to live through three more years of seriously, that scares the crap out of me. Not that I would think he'd be like, peace out, I'm out of here. But we all knew when we signed him that we better make hay the first 3 years, because the last 3 years of the contract could get a little iffy. Well,
yeah,
that's where I'm like, I don't know. My gut is leaning more towards a retool, and I hate being that guy. I'm just not that I want to be in the murky middle anymore. I don't. But I think in Calgary, if Gaudreau, Monahan, and Geo weren't here, What does that do? Like, I mean, in a positive, like, not that I'm trying to get rid of all those guys. There's a lot of things I like about each one of those players. But what does that do to the locker room? It changes everything.
Yeah.
It changes everything. So you plug in a few pieces, you move those three out and you plug in a few pieces. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
That would be if I was...
And that's, I think, where it comes back to identity and culture, is that this team has never had an identity in its entire existence. And I think...
Well, they did back in the 80s. They did in the 80s. I mean...
Well, that's... Yeah, and that's... Yeah, and you're right about that. But not since they won the Cup in 89, they've never had an identity, because they have always been, since that time, a middle-of-the-back hockey team, which... Like I have repeatedly said, is death in the National Hockey League. And you don't want to end up like the Minnesota Wild, where you make the playoffs 8 out of 9 years, which the Flames would kill to do, by a team that is a great regular season team, but then doesn't do anything in the playoffs.
Yeah. No, I know. And I've had arguments with a lot of Flames fans. It's like, I talk to so many people and they're just like, well, we just got to get to the playoffs. I'm like, no, we just need to win a Stanley Cup. Like, I'm sorry, I am not happy with just making the playoffs. And I realized that when Colorado kicked our ass so bad in five, I'm just like, I can't, it's just not enough for me to get here. I want to make a run. I miss those runs. And I'm so disappointed, because I thought that this was maybe going to be a year where we could make one of those runs. I knew we had to deal with the Gaudreau thing, and I know, you know, I've questioned Monahan as much as, I hate to admit it, he's been one of my favorite Flames players in the last 10 years, but the guy's not going to be the guy that gets us over the top and hoists the Stanley Cup. And the people of Calgary are starving for that right now. And quite honestly, they deserve that. I'm really struggling on what direction this goes. Do you think Gaudreau gets moved this year?
Oh,
the $100 million question.
You know what? Here's where I'm at with it. If you're going to retool after this season, then yes. I think if you're retooling, Gaudreau and Monahan are the first two to be moved.
Do you consider re-signing Gaudreau? Would you consider re-signing Gaudreau?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But so, I think at the same time, if you're looking to go in a different direction, and if you're looking to really retool and you know, build around Tkachuk, then that's probably a move you're going to have to do.
Yeah. So what?
Another question.
So if Gaudreau walks into your, let's pretend you're GM again, and Gaudreau walks into your office, he's going to want a pay raise. Has he earned a pay raise?
Well, I mean, you remember the second half of the 19 campaign, and then last year, and how that went for Johnny. Not great. I mean, he's been off to a great start, but I mean, the biggest thing with Johnny, and there are a lot of people who are saying you could probably get him for cheap, but will you really? I mean,
he's going to want seven
based
plus.
On his elite, yeah, and based on
I'm not giving that him that.
The fact that he's one of the more elite playmakers in the league, he's probably going to get around $9.5 million. You look at that when you have to pay Tkachuk long term, are you really going to make that? Are you really going to pay Johnny that much?
If Calgary pays Johnny Gaudreau over $7 million, if they even pay him $7 million, I might be pissed. If they pay him more than $7 million, we've lost our mind.
Mm-hmm.
With his effort, I'm not throwing this all on him. This is a group crappiness. But when I see him, I mean, last night was bad. He had a bad, bad night. And it wasn't bad that he had bad breaks. It was bad effort. And that's what irritates me the most. And I'm sure you're the same as me. We hear these post-game conferences. It's almost like they're hitting a tape recorder. It's like, well, we got to be better for each other. We got to want this for each other. Quit telling me this. And I think we're all at that frustration level. And I don't know. I don't know how. I don't know what I would say to Johnny Gaudreau if he asked for a pay increase. He sure as hell hasn't earned it.
Brad, how many times have we heard those news conferences over the years?
Oh.
Too many.
It's the same thing every night. I quit watching them because I seriously, I think me and you could do them. And like it would be the exact same thing as what they would say. And I'm not saying that they're getting up there and lying to us.
Yeah.
But like at some point, like talk is cheap. I need to see results. And I don't know, do you think there's players calling other players out in the locker room? Because I don't.
I really want to know what's going on in that locker room. But hell, I wouldn't even know what happened in that players only meeting.
I think I really knew.
I really do. Because if somebody really told Tkachuk to tone it down,
I guarantee it happened.
Then that player should be moved.
I guarantee it. Don't you think it happened?
I think so.
Rumors don't start. People don't. Rumors don't happen.
And remember, Friedman, who's probably the most reliable source in the game,
he's credible.
He wouldn't lie. No. He wouldn't lie.
He has no reason to.
No.
He has absolutely nothing to gain by that. Something,
yeah.
I would bet, it wouldn't shock me at all that if more than one player said that.
Me neither. It wouldn't shock me at all.
No, it wouldn't shock me at all. And that's sad because, no, I don't want us fighting every night and I don't think we need to do that. But you know what? Good teams stick up for each other. Look at the Boston Bruins.
Yep.
I'm sorry if Marchand did that and he got a puck flipped at him. They would have been five guy Bruins right on top of the guy that flipped the puck on him. And yeah. I can't believe like the night the day that happened, like I didn't think it was like a huge deal. But then I started thinking about it more later on and I'm thinking, man, that would have sent some beer league games into a frenzy. It would have.
No, and you're not wrong there. Like, and it comes back to the leadership because, I mean, I have questioned Gio's leadership since the bubble. I really have. And is this guy really the leader we all thought he was?
Well, I think he's a leader by his actions on the ice, but I don't think he's the type of guy that's a leader in the locker room. Like, I think he shows his leadership by, you know, like I still think that he busts his ass out there. And the fact of the matter is he's just getting old. Like, I don't think it's lack of effort with Gio.
Yeah.
But I think he's one of those captains. I don't think he's like an Iginla, where Iginla showed it on the ice but also walked the walk in the locker room. Mm-hmm. I think Gio shows it on the ice but is not the personality to walk the walk in the locker room. I don't know, everybody keeps saying in Calgary, well, we should have Tkachuk as captain. Man, I think, not that I question Tkachuk, but I'm saying, like, boy, the timing would not be good for that right now when they can't even agree with him and his actions on the ice at all. Like, how would that go over?
Maybe not exactly the greatest. But the point is that Tkachuk's the only one who shows up.
Yeah. I got a question for you. Am I over excited about Tanev, but I think Tanev has been amazing this year.
No, you're definitely not. I mean, I was probably one of the only ones who was defending that signing because he's probably, as Lubo likes to say, he's probably one of the most underappreciated players in the sport because just the way he just, you know, is a common defensive presence back there. And that's a big key for Jacob Markstrom was also having Chris Tanev come with him.
Yeah, and I look at what he's like. I look at what he's done, and I think, you know, it's kind of makes me sick to see new players come in, and they're the ones we're not upset about. And I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe I'm just, you know, like recency bias, like just, well, we just got him, he hasn't pissed me off yet, you know. But he's, how do you get? He's, you know, he's kind of like a Travis Hamonic, and I was really disappointed when Hamonic didn't play in the playoffs last year, but I mean, that's another story. But I have always described Hamonic as like the heart and soul gamer, would lay his body on the line for his teammate at any point in time, and I love that about him. And when I started watching Tanev, I'm like, yeah, this is Hamonic, but younger.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know. I just look at this roster, and I look at our defense, and I've been fairly happy across the board, haven't you?
Yeah, of course. I think the one thing that I don't think this team is well built enough to be a contender.
Offensively or defensively? I think on
both sides of it, offensive and defensively. And even you can probably argue coaching wise as well. Like, I think, and it also management too, for not building this team properly, because like, and that's where it comes back to for me, is that, you know, people can point the finger at coach all they want, but the truth of the fact is it's on the players to still execute whatever system is given to them. And the fact is go back the last 20 years in this organization. How many head coaches have they been through? 11 head coaches.
11. 11 and 10 have been fired, and not only one of them has taken a job.
And that was Daryl.
Yeah. But then that goes back to my point. What if we had a Gerard Gallant behind the bench? Like, I'm just using him as an example.
Like, I don't think that solves your problems overnight, though.
No, I don't think it is. No, I think it's step one to solving the problems, though.
Okay.
No way in the world am I letting this core off the hook. I was actually a proponent of last year when the playoffs ended, I was a proponent of Gaudreau or Monahan, one's got to go. And it didn't happen. But I was also really ecstatic to get Tanev and really ecstatic to get Markstrom. And I thought, well, let's see how this plays out. Well, 23 games in, none of us are happy at all.
Yeah.
And now it's time to take care of the core. But I also think that the coach has got to go too, based on some decision making. And I am not at all blaming this on Jeff Ward.
No, I know you're not. I know you're not. I think for me, I've seen people all over say that it's a one-sided problem and, you know, it's just on the coaching. No way it's on the coaching. No. Like, this core has been through four head coaches. Like, it's
a problem. There's a problem with this core. And this will never... We can talk, me and you can talk every night about this, and it's not going to change with this core. Like, we're not, it's just not. And I'm finally to that realization 100% where it's like, but you know, I'm deathly afraid. Like, I see some of these tweets of like, well, if we traded Monahan, we'd get this. And I'm like, I don't think we would get that. And I see, you know, maybe we could, you know, they were freaking out about it on the fan today about, you know, well, let's package this guy, and this guy for Eichel. I'm like, well, I mean, Pinder went off the rails today about that. Like, they're not trading us Jack Eichel for our turds. I mean, they're not. And I would love to have a guy like him. But I think if we got creative, we could get a halfway decent return for a Gaudreau and a Monahan and a Sam Bennett. And even though, you know, maybe I'm the odd man out on this whole thing, is I hate to see Sam Bennett go. I don't know why. I don't know. I can't even argue it because he hasn't been good lately. So I have no justification to keeping him. But the fact is, we got to do something. And I don't know if, can this fan base handle a 5-year rebuild, do you think?
I mean, there are some who I have talked to and I've seen that are kind of on the same page where I am. I think the problem is, again, like I just mentioned, the organization has been a middle-of-the-pack franchise for too long, and you just cannot continue to stay there over and over again. Like, how many times have we kept seeing this? I've seen this for as long as I've cheered for this team.
Yeah. No, I can't argue with you. It is the same story every year, just like the news conferences are the same every night.
Yep. Nothing's changed at all.
So when do you start the change? Do you start it right now, or do you wait till the off season?
I think the off season for sure. I don't think you can really do anything right now.
You don't think
so? I mean, quarantine. I mean, if you're gonna fire, look, and if you're going to fire Jeff Ward right now, I mean, Gerard Gallant's not walking through that door.
No.
Boudreau's not walking through that door. So you're probably going to be stuck with Ryan Huska until the end of the season, most likely. So I think if the organization is going to make some, you know, changes, which I think after this season, they absolutely will. I mean, COVID or not, I think they absolutely have to and will. You have to wait till the off season. I think you just have to write out, you know, with this current group that you have right now.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I was sitting here thinking today, I'm like, well, we got Ottawa and Edmonton up, and if we have poor performances with those the next three games, like, then what? You know, if we get shelled by Edmonton on Saturday.
To add on to that, I wouldn't be surprised, though, either way.
No, I know. I'm with you, though. No, I'm with you. I don't think we'll see anything till the off season. I don't. I think this year is just, there's too many hurdles to get by, and I just think it is what it is. But as much as I always will cheer for this team and I'll always be the biggest supporter, I mean, the fact is they could still make the playoffs. And is that going to be a negative?
I mean, I also look at this too, and I say, you know, why is it even worth it? Like, what is the incentive for this team to make the playoffs? What is the incentive for the ownership too, right? Because, I mean, you're not going to get fans at the Salad Dome. Your revenue is not going to go up by much. So what's really the point if you're going to then just go in as the fourth seed and get swept by Toronto or Edmonton? Like, what's really the point?
They're probably, honestly, as a management group, better off financially if they are going to do a full teardown to start it right now.
I think so.
Because they would probably get more return right now than they would in the off season, and they're not going to lose revenue anyways because there's not going to be a full Scotiabank Saddle Dome. So you make a strong point there that it's probably might as well get the ball rolling here on what we're going to do. But it'll be interesting. It's going to be – there's so many hurdles this year, and it's going to be so interesting and so difficult. But I don't know.
Exactly.
We'll see what happens. But thanks so much for joining the show. It's a pleasure talking with you, and hopefully we can hook up and do it again soon. Before we go, let's talk. Tell me a little bit about the podcast you do, and so my listeners can also tune into yours and vice versa, hopefully.
So it's called the, as you can see on my hoodie here, it's called the Blasty Cast, and make sure you go subscribe on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts, fix that. And we just did episode 13 with Pat Steinberg from Sportsnet 960 The Fan. And we've also done episodes with Craig Conroy and Kelly Rudy and Rico Fata, Blasty Legend. So, hopefully you all go subscribe to the show and take a listen and have all of yourselves a blasty day.
Well, thanks, Noel, for joining me. It's always good talking Flames hockey with you, and we can hopefully do it in here again in the near future.
Thanks, Brad. I appreciate it.
Inside Edge Hockey News, dropping the gloves and stirring the pot.
All right, Flames fans, time for a little bit of Flames news. And we'll roll into injuries right away. Jacob Markstrom still out with an injury. A possibility that he is back minding the net for the Flames on Thursday night against Ottawa. Back at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. We'll see on that one. Obviously, nothing going to be announced before game day on that one. Let's hope he's back to good. Even though I was fairly impressed with David Rittich with a few minor little problems here and there. I thought he made some pretty key saves in his fill-in for Markstrom during his injury. Tuesday, the Flames placed Derek Ryan on waivers. He is nearing a comeback from a hand injury, a formality, so don't freak out, Flames fans. We knew this was going to happen. I expect he'll clear waivers, and we'll give the Flames the versatility to save some cap space. Be good having him back centering that fourth line. A sad and scary stat. The Flames are 0-9-1 when scoring 2 goals or less. They're actually 9-1-1 when scoring 3 or more. The problem is, this team scoring is completely dried up. No one is producing at the rate we expected. Goudreau maybe, but that's even fallen off the wagon here lately. One guy that has had a good month at least is Andrew Mangiapane. He's got 33 career goals. 18 of those 33 of his career have come in the month of February. That is 54.6% of his goals he's scored in his career have came in the month of February. Well, I don't know what that means for March, but it kind of scares me when he's one of our only guys that's producing. Let's hope that he can break that trend and have a good March this year. Let's take a moment and go around the division, talk about the North Division. Toronto leads it with 36 points as we stand at recording here time tonight. Edmonton 28 in second, Winnipeg in third with 27, Montreal hanging out of that final spot with 23 points, Calgary just one back at 22, Vancouver two back of Calgary at 20, and Ottawa sits at 17 points but has been surging with a 6-4-0 in their last 10 games. The hot teams in the division, Toronto, I would say Winnipeg hasn't been bad. They're 6-4-0. Edmonton 7-3-0 in their last 10, although they've lost two in a row to the Toronto Maple Leafs. And Ottawa, yes, 6-4-0. Boy, and they took it to Calgary, and they get their chance here again on Thursday night. What do the odds look like in the North right now? And I was the only reason I added this to the show today is because I was like, how much is Calgary dropping? I went to Money Puck to get this numbers. They do a pretty good job with it. They've got Toronto at 99.6% chance of making the playoffs. Sounds about accurate to me. They got the second place Edmonton Oilers at 83.3. I thought that makes about right sense. They got the third place Winnipeg Jets at 68.6. Now I thought that number would be a little bit higher, like in the lower 70s. But then I saw Montreal's, and they've got Montreal at 85.9. That is ridiculously high for a team that's getting horrendous goaltending. Upfront scoring production has dried up just like Calgary's. And a team that's kind of in shambles and just fired their coach. That's a pretty high percentage. It's going to go one way or the other. I know I think it's going to go down, but maybe Money Puck knows more than me. And then let's roll on and talk about Calgary. They got a 37.5% chance of making the postseason. I don't know. It's probably about right. They go back home now, and if they snag some wins together, yeah, that's probably about right. Vancouver sits at 15.7, and Ottawa 9.5. Actually, I think both those two teams have something to say about that. I think both of them have the potential to move up to and chase Montreal. So no slouches there. A team gets hot, wins a few in a row, and a lot of things change pretty quickly. Facebook poll of the week. Thank you goes out to our friends at Calgary Flames Fans and Flames Hub, two Facebook groups that helped me with this poll. And I kind of screwed this poll up myself, though. It's on me. I'm taking the hit on this one. 420 people responded to me today to my question, do the Flames need a complete rebuild or a retool? My only problem is I put in yes and no as the responses, which is completely idiotic, and I don't know what I was thinking. But let's go with it because I got a ton of comments, so I got a good feel for what the listeners want. 75%, 313 respondents said, yes, we need a rebuild or a retool. 25%, 107 people said, no, leave it as status quo, which surprised me a bit because when I wrote this question, I didn't even consider the fact that we would all be okay with letting things go because this isn't just a problem we watched in the first 23 games. This is a problem that we've watched for 3+ years. So I think something needs to be done. I think a rebuild or a retool needs to happen. Now, I'm torn back and forth on which one of those needs to happen. Most of our listeners, and based off what the comments they were leaving, most believe a retool starting with a firing of the coach and then Giordano Monahan's name was listed quite frequently. I would go with fire the coach and then hit Gaudreau because we need to get a return on him. Obviously, Bennett. I don't know what you do with Giordano. I don't know that that's one you want to move. I think Monahan has to go, but we'll get into that in other parts of the show. But I believe a retool at least has to happen. Now, a complete teardown, It's tough. It's tough right now in this league with salaries where they are and the cap sitting stagnant for 3 years. I don't know how that would fit into the mix here, but I guess you can't completely rule it out. A big thanks goes out to both those Facebook groups, Calgary Flames fans and Flames Hub. I really appreciate your help on the polls. All right, Flames fans, time to preview Thursday night's matchup, March 4th. The Flames are finally home after a six-game road trip. Ottawa comes to town. Yeah, I feel like we're in a playoff series with Ottawa, and we're losing it. They come to town. They're 8-15-1. Calgary currently sits 10-11-2. Drake Batherson leads Ottawa in scoring 17. Johnny Gaudreau leads Calgary in points with 20. Batherson's got 9 goals. Gaudreau's got 9 goals. Who in the hell would have ever predicted that one? Markstrom with 8 wins. Murray with 6. Let's hope we have a Markstrom-Murray matchup on Thursday night. We'll see. We'll follow that up with a Friday night Battle of Alberta back-to-back nights as Calgary heads to Edmonton for a one-game set. Their fourth meeting of the year. The Flames won meeting 1, 6-4. Oilers bounce back and won the meeting 2 in Calgary, 2-1. And then the debacle happened in Edmonton, 7-1 last time these two teams played. And I pray that on March 6th, Saturday night, we do not have a repeat of that. So I'm sorry, not back-to-backs. It's Thursday, Saturday, and then Sunday is the back-to-back as Calgary heads home from Edmonton to take on Ottawa one more time. And that'll happen at the Saddle Dome on Sunday night at 7:30. So a back-to-back Saturday, Sunday. So it's Thursday, Ottawa in Calgary, Saturday, Calgary in Edmonton. And then Sunday, we're back home to take on Ottawa, who will sit and wait for us. That'll be interesting. Then we'll have Ottawa gone off the schedule for a while, which is something we thought we wouldn't want. But maybe it's a blessing since it's been a big struggle bus against them and kind of been embarrassing. This Thursday night, that game against Ottawa is the next hot mic game of the week. So what exactly is a hot mic game of the week? Well, once a week, we watch a Calgary Flames game together. It's a group Flames watch. I host it. We talk hockey. We talk Flames. We complain. We bitch. We cheer. We talk about the team we love so much, and they've been quite interesting lately as we've hit this skid. Watching the Ottawa game last Thursday night as a group was very, very frustrating to say the least. It's great fan interaction. You can win some prizes, meet some new people, and have a lot of fun. You'll check out details. We posted Thursday on our Facebook and Twitter page. Make sure you check it out. March 4th, the Ottawa game, and then March 11th, Thursday night next week, the Montreal game will be that week's Hot Mic Game of the Week. So how exactly do you join a Hot Mic Game of the Week? Well, you grab your Android device or your iPad or your iPhone. You download the Hot Mic app. Search, set it up. It's free. It's easy. It's not hard to do. Search Flames. You'll see the Flames Unfiltered page. Like it. And then you'll see Flames Senators Thursday night, the game. Click on that. It'll link you into the game. Once you're in, don't be a stranger. Tweet, message, let us know you're in, and then we'll have some fun together. We have some contests. We have a contest called the Hat Trick Jersey Contest. 3 things you got to do to win a prize. You connect with Flames Unfiltered on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Join this watch party. Interact with us. Pick the Flames' first goal scorer of the night, and that viewer, or that whoever picks the first goal of the night, they win. And what do they win? They win an entry to win a Blasty jersey at the end of the year. We've got 3 entrants in to get that jersey. So you pick the first Flames goal scorer, and you could be walking out with a Blasty jersey. Every night we give away prizes. We give away a set of 2021 Upper Deck Calgary Flames hockey card sets, and we'll give that just to a random participant that has a lot of fan interaction with us that night and has a little bit of fun with us. They're fun. We do them every week here at Flames Unfiltered, and it's a great way to meet new Flames fans and have a lot of fun. Well, another episode in the books, and I knew this was going to be a tough one. I knew it as I was coming home tonight. My little girl says, "Are you recording tonight?" I said, "Yeah." She says, "The Flames podcast?" I said, "Yeah." She says, "That's not going to be fun, Dad." My kids know when the Flames are struggling, I'll tell you that one. It hasn't been fun doing this when they struggle. I like doing these podcasts when things are good. So much more fun. But you know what? Once this team gets a direction and a plan and we get going, there's going to be lots of talk about it. And I think good times are ahead. And, well, we'll look for some positives. And let's hope for a good weekend, a good homestand. I do think the core has to be broken. I think the moves will start happening right now. And we'll see what happens on this week. And I got a feeling we'll have plenty to talk about next week. Thanks to all our listeners. We truly appreciate it. Help us out. Follow us on social media at Flames Unfiltered. And make sure you go on to Inside Edge Hockey News. Like us on YouTube and watch our videos. Yeah, we're on in video now. And get on over to Apple Podcasts. Like, rate, review us. It helps us all out. Thank you so much for watching and listening to another episode of Flames Unfiltered. And we're back next week. Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. And consider subscribing to Inside Edge Hockey News on Patreon. That'll get you exclusive content and much more. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey action.
Play on! Yeah, baby! Play on! Yeah, baby!
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk. This has been a production of Inside Edge Hockey News Radio, copyrighted and distributed by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.